pride. And I'll start with the statement, I am not in favor. pride. What is pride? Firstly, okay, are we connecting? We are not connecting. Ah, here we go. Okay, firstly, pride is listed as one of the seven deadly sins. You have all of them there. I don't know where you can read, but there it is. So lust, pride, sloth, anger, envy, gluttony, and greed. So seven deadly sins, or cardinal sins as they are called, and they are not called cardinal or deadly sin because just cardinals do them. Anybody can do them. But I have to say, Bible doesn't call these sins deadly. There is no such thing as deadly sins. Bible says that every sin is deadly. Every single sin is deadly. Bible doesn't distinguish between good sins and bad sins. We cannot teach, oh, it's okay if you sin like that, but no, don't sin like that. These sins are kind of permissible and those are not. We don't see that in the Bible. They are not acceptable sins and unacceptable sins, you know, sins that will kill you and sins that will not kill you, because God said in the beginning, you know, once you will touch the tree, when you eat the fruit, you will die. And Bible is quite simple. So, you know, teachings about deadly sins and not deadly sins is not quite biblical, because it's simple. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, and it doesn't say the wages of this sin or that sin. Wages of sin, any sin, is disobedience, breaking the law, breaking the word of God, break is a rebellion. So wages of sin, any whatsoever sin, is dead. So every sin is deadly. Every sin brings hell, eternal death. And doesn't matter, you know, which church or whatever teaches, whoever teaches that, but we have to stick with what the Bible says. Sin is deadly. So again, if I ask again, what is pride? Simply, pride is sin. Yeah, we can call it deadly, but as anything else, okay? Pride is sin. And why people actually... We can ask why they put the pride on the list of deadly sins. Well, it is a serious sin. It is very serious sin. And maybe we can say, biblically, if we follow the story and try to find out what was the first sin, we can say probably pride was the first sin that existed or happened. And it was even not on this earth, but in heaven. Because there were these angels, especially one angel who was, in Hebrew Bible, he was called the Shining One, or Bright Morning Star, Hallel in Hebrew, which is wrongly translated Lucifer in Isaiah 14. So this angel, it says in Isaiah 14, he wanted to be bigger or more important than God. He wanted to sit on the throne and get the glory that did not belong to him. So he was cast up from heaven, and Luke 10:18 says that he fell from heaven. So we can see the first sin that happened was rebellion of angels in heaven, and because of pride they were cast out from the presence of God. Now, and I went and checked a few dictionaries for definition of pride. So firstly, I found this online definition. What is pride? It's a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of one's close associates, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. And secondly, pride is consciousness of one's own dignity. Then I went to the Oxford Dictionary. I thought the proper book, this was online, so yeah, I thought, well, I checked the proper Oxford thing. And Oxford Dictionary says, pride is feeling of elation or satisfaction at achievements or qualities or possessions, etc., that do one credit, or pride is a high or overbearing opinion of one's worth or importance. And then I checked a few other dictionaries, but they were kind of similar. Only Webster dictionary edits arrogant, exaggerating, disposed to exaggerate one's own worth, etc., etc. So now, when we read these definitions, pleasure from your own achievements, is that bad? Aren't you proud when you achieve something? That's normal, that's kind of human. What's wrong with that? Satisfaction from possessions? That's normal. Aren't you happy when you buy a house or you buy a new car? You feel satisfied. So, yeah. And how often do I say to my kids, to my sons, to my girls, to my wife even, I'm so proud of you. And it's nothing wrong with that pride. Okay? So we have to distinguish. There is a pride and pride. Not every pride is sinful. It's okay if, and I believe, if you are parents or grandparents and you are proud of your children, and when they achieve something, when they get something, you are proud, you are happy, you are satisfied. It gives you feeling of elation and satisfaction. And it's not sinful, that kind of pride. So what makes pride sinful? When pride becomes sin, that comes to the category of, as they call, deadly sin, small serious sin that is really disgraceful and not so pleasing to God. Why is pride sinful? Well, again, we can simply say, because Bible tells me so. That's why it is sin. And we'll find out soon, well, we'll go through the scriptures and find out why. In Proverbs 16:5, it says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Now, when we read something like this, we might realize, hang on, so proud people are abomination to the Lord. Abomination doesn't sound like a nice thing, does it? When God calls something an abomination, it gives us this awareness, he means business. It's not just, oh, no, children. It's really something bad, something, you know, abomination is pretty harsh. Doesn't leave us much room for finding excuses. Oh, I don't think it's that bad. It is bad. When God calls something abomination, it's really bad. You can just go through the Bible and find what other things God calls abomination and how God dealt with abominations in a history, and you'll realize how bad pride is in God's eyes. And I checked even the definition for abomination is something detestable, unlawful, or repulsive. Pride is repulsive to God. And this scripture from Proverbs says, well, proud people will not be unpunished. So God does not tolerate it at all. So why is pride so repulsive to God? Because Psalm 10:4 says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him, God. Okay? In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. And this explains, this is good explanation. We wouldn't even need to find anything more. Because proud people don't seek God. And God wants to be thought. Seek the Lord as long as he's, you know, while he's still to be found. Because proud people think on themselves only. And as it says in Psalm, there's no room for God in their hearts. They think they are focused on their own ego, on their own lives, on their own achievements, on their own positions and possessions, etc., etc. So proud people have no room to think of God. And God hates that. Of course, because pride is a hindrance to seeking him, and he wants people get saved, of course. And through the scriptures, we are told about the consequences of pride. In Proverbs 16:18, you know, pride goes before destruction. This one proverb was very often quoted in my culture, in Slovakian. pícha predchádza pád, that's how we say. And even everybody, even non-Christians were quoting this, not knowing this is actually from the Bible, but it's such a general usage all over the nation. Pride goes before destruction. And destruction, it doesn't just mean, it means hell, like punishment, like separation. It's a bad word, destruction. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. And again, if Satan, the Hallel, the morning star, the shining one, who was probably God's right hand angel, if Satan was cast out of heaven because of his pride, can a believing Christian, believing person, be cast out of the fellowship of God's children for the same reason? Of course he can. Because God hates pride, because he loves people, and pride prevents people from receiving help from him. Also, when we talk about pride, I read a number of large amount of verses, and I found out that actually pride is very, very sticky. What I mean by that, it doesn't want to stay alone, doesn't want to just be proud, you know, it needs some companions. And when I read Proverbs 8:13, and I read a few other verses, and I realized, yes, it has a lot of companions. Pride has a lot of companions. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So can you see what is associated with pride? Arrogance and perverse mouth, or other English translations translate this perverse mouth as a twisted speech, hurtful words or false words. In other words, gossip, half-truths, slanderous talk, pride like spreading rumors behind people's backs or whatever. Are you ever tempted with this sin? Half-truths, say something that is not completely 100% truth? Pride is very serious because it is the most subtle of sins. It is often not even recognized as existing. And devil always wins when people stop believing in him. Last Thursday, I think, I had a coffee with a new friend of mine. We were sitting in Dome Cafe in Kingsley, and we are talking, having cappuccinos and talking, and all of a sudden, he's a black man from Ghana. As we are sitting outside on the pavement, and all of a sudden, out of blue, this stranger, all the Aussie man, came and said, "Excuse me," and he came to my friend and said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from Ghana." "Oh, well, welcome to this country." You know, it was strange. Like, how? Why are you welcome? Because he's African? What if he could have been born in here? Like, there was such a strange thing. You know, welcome to this country. Like, what do you mean? Like, okay. So we let this man talk. But friend of mine, the second sentence, he asked this Aussie guy, "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Of course, you know, that's what you do in a coffee." Yeah, because we're talking about Jesus. Maybe the old man heard us or no, I don't know. But he said, and the old man said, "Well, you wouldn't believe, but actually I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in angels and spirits and great masters and anything and everything on this planet." He says, "I'm a spiritualist, you know." And for the next 20 minutes, we had good conversations. Can you imagine? And he was telling, "Oh, there is no hell, and we all go to heaven, and once we will meet there." And I turned to him and said, "No, we don't go all to heaven unless you profess Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior." I said, "Oh, I do, I do." So he confessed Jesus Christ, but he confessed also masters and spirits and whatever, demons and anything is good, always go to, leads to heaven. I said, "No, they don't. Hell, we all go to the same place." "No, we are not. I'll wait for you up there." "No, we will not." You couldn't get through that man. It was unreal, you know. Well, but me and my friend, we just laughed and said, okay, well, that's your choice. You know, we know where we are going. And he said, I know where I'm going. He said, no, you don't. It was interesting. But see, but he had this attitude, everything is fine. Everything is fine. But it's not. And he doesn't know. He couldn't see. He couldn't understand that it's not everything is fine. But the biggest strategy, as I said, the devil wins when we stop believing in hell. If there is no hell, if you all go to heaven, just go home, people. Don't bother about church, about word of God, about prayer, about repentance, about reconciliation. Or don't bother about anything. If we all go to heaven, like, why should we even try to live godly and good lives? I mean, what's the point? Do you understand? Like, it doesn't make sense at all whatsoever. But even that attitude, you see, he came to us and he, with this attitude, I know it all. I know better than you Christians. I know because I know the masters, the spirits told him. And he knows the arrogant spiritualist attitude. The pride goes before destruction. Pride is the root of all sin. It causes us to turn away from God instead of turning to Him. All disobedience has pride as its root. All rebellion has pride behind it. All mistreatment of other people is caused by pride. And when I read this in a dictionary as well, and I think, yeah, actually, because if you are your own God, if you are the measure of what is right and what is not, then you don't care whether it hurts the other people. And I said even about the rumors. When you spread rumors and lies and hard truths about others, you don't care how much it's going to hurt them. As long as it doesn't hurt you, that's fine. You are your God. You are the measure of goodness. You are the measure of what is right, what is not. You have got your own righteousness, your measuring stick, what is right. You are a self-righteous person. So any gossip, any lie, any half-truth, you don't care. As long as it's not about you, but about others, it's good. It feels good, it must be good. It feels good to me. See? It doesn't matter how others feel, as long as I feel okay. Have you ever hurt somebody else's feelings? Silly question, huh? Then how did it happen? Were you aware of that you can hurt somebody else's feelings? What caused it? Was it motivated by your actions or by your attitude that could be probably pride somewhere? Arrogance, the opposite of love, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving somebody that you are talking about as yourself. As Jesus said, the golden gospel rule is do to others what you want others do to you. Or as Rabbi said, don't do to others in a negative way of it. Don't do to others what you don't want others do to you. Okay? Well, sometimes you act out of your religious convictions and you act very religiously and you can hurt somebody else's feelings. But we know that, you know, there's a lot of very religious people in the world who out of religious convictions kill millions out of their religious beliefs, and they persecute and hunt and destroy and chop the heads. That's the religion they believe in. Very religious. So what motivates you when you cause hurt to somebody else? It can be your religion, but it can be religion of your ego, religion of your own pride. Where does pride come from? It comes from the pits of hell. It is the devil's seed. It is evil, and it comes from the evil one. It is from this world, and the world is in the power of the evil one. In Mark 7:20, we read it, and Jesus said, what comes out of man that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, etc. And then he says pride. Pride is evil. All this evil, Jesus called pride evil. It means devil's seed. See? That come from within, from man's heart. And then in 1 John 2:16, it says the pride of life is of the world. The pride can be also one reason why your prayers are not answered, or why you can't get any breakthroughs in your life, because of the attitude, as we had that reading in James chapter 4, that you are praying and nothing happens. You are praying, interceding, you are coming to God in prayer, and your prayers are not answered. And James explains, it could be because the pride in your heart, because you want to waste it for yourself, because you are the God of your prayers. You are praying because you want to just to please yourself, because your ego needs those prayers and prayers answered. So check your prayer life. Only by faith and humbleness God can come and receive and answer your prayers and give you blessings. Pride is faith in yourself. Faith in God is not faith in yourself. Proud people have problem trusting God. It is against their nature. So in James 4 it says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So even that is telling us when we pray, if you face or experience some resistance in your prayer life, you might be thinking, oh, devil doesn't like this prayer, so that's why I'm experiencing resistance. But see, even God can resist the prayers if they are coming from the proud heart. So, and you might be thinking in your religious heart, oh, it's the devil, that's why I'm not having breakthroughs. But it says God resists the proud, and God will not listen to the prayers of those who are in this attitude of heart. But God gives grace to the humble. So it's a good checklist. And we will finish now with a short list of manifestations. How can I do the checklist on my own life, on my heart? So manifestations of pride. How can you go through your own soul, mind, heart, whatever it is, and find out, well, do I have any signs in my life that pride has been manifested in some way? So neglecting the Bible and prayer can be also a symbol or sign that you have a prideful attitude. Why? Because if you think that you don't need to read it and don't need to pray because you already read it, you already prayed, you are so busy, you know. You can excuse it by being busy, but it could be just a prideful attitude of your heart. I don't need to read that much. I don't need to pray so much. I can handle it by myself. It can be the pride attitude. And on the other side, on the hand, if you realize, I can't do without God, I can't do without His Word, I can't do without prayer, as Martin Luther said, if he had the busiest day ever, he said, Martin Luther said, I had to wake up 1 hour early at 4 o'clock in the morning instead of 5 to spend one extra hour in prayer so that I can get to the busy day. His despondency on prayer and God was the more he had in life, the more he spent in the Word and on his knees. So the attitude, oh, I don't need to spend much time in the Word and prayer, it can be attitude of pride. Desperate people always find time. And last week I spoke about that I felt, you know, that we need to develop or revive this desire, longing, appreciation for the Word of God. Word of God. That's why we spoke about Psalm 119. So the question is, Am I desperate for God? Am I desperate for His Word? Am I desperate to spend some time in prayer? We have that song, I'm so desperate for you. So it's lovely to sing the song, but is that really your reality? Pride and prayer are inverse. A proud person does not pray much, and a praying person is not bothered much with pride. So that's the first manifestation of pride as well, can be. The second one, inability to admit you are wrong. A proud person blames someone else. It's always somebody else's fault, never theirs. And they refuse to admit anything they are doing could be a failure. Number three, not submitting to authority. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud and but gives grace to the humble. A proud person thinks they should do things their way instead of going by the way of anyone else, what anyone else has to say. Know it all attitude, number four, 1 Corinthians 8:2. And if anyone thinks that he knows everything, he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Number five, not acting on God's word. If we do not act on God's word, we are acting on the word of someone else, thereby placing ourselves above God. It's called disobedience, in other words. Number six, criticizing others. Anyone who criticizes another person considers they as superior to that person. They also think they are qualified to judge another human being, which they are not. Number seven, thinking you are better than others. Are you better than anybody else? You might be better than some, yes. You are different, of course, but not superior. Everyone knows something that you don't. And there are many people superior to you in many ways. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? If you had some gifts, and we had to apply it to the spiritual gifts as well. If you have gifts of the Holy Spirit, well, did you receive them to show off? Or did you receive them to serve? Did you receive them to wash the feet? Or did you receive to be worshipped as somebody amazingly important? See? Being overly busy. This is an interesting one. Being overly busy can be also a manifestation of being proud. Because some people think that they have to do everything, that nobody can do it as they can. See? So let others to do what they can do. If you think nobody else can do it as well as you, that's pride. And certainly that will keep somebody very busy. Continual busyness, even in the ministry, is usually a sign of pride. And I remembered, as I finished the list, I remembered, and I told some already, when you come to the front, and I've seen it, some people, you know, you grab the mic and you hold it here, or you speak like that, and, you know, and I told a few people already in this church and other places too, don't be so proud. And people, what do you mean? Speak to the microphone. No, I'm not proud. Yeah, speak to the microphone. So that I don't like my voice to be so loud. You don't like? So what's important for you and people are not important for you? Are you proud that you don't want your voice to be heard, but you don't care that everybody else can't hear you properly? Isn't that pride? See? I don't like. So who cares that you don't like? But we do like. We would like to hear you. So when you grab your mic and speak to somebody, when you share something what God has done or something that is important for everybody to hear, don't be proud. speak to the microphone, lick it, you know. It should be this close to your mouth so that everybody can be blessed by what you have to say. That also can be proud. It could be shine, you know, or pride. See? So I believe now everybody will be licking microphone. No, I think there are small things in our lives when we can show things that, and because we don't like it. But see, it's not about us, me, liking or not liking. It's about loving my neighbor. That's what's important. Do to others. So, and I have to say, I have written, I've stopped now. This is half of my sermon, actually. That's what happened, because I started quite early with this sermon, and then I realized it's probably for 2 hours. So I cut it very this is the cut, and I have the second half somewhere, and I'm not sure whether we will continue in that next Sunday or whenever. I'll still have to deal with the Lord, but because I found actually, and that surprised me really, that I found so much stuff in the Bible about pride. And I realized, that's one of the things that you find on every second page of the Bible, literally, you know. It's apostles, prophets, kings, and whoever, everybody had to deal with it. So, and every scripture I read was so, so full, so important to me. So I collected a lot of material that I didn't use even now. And so, I'm telling you, if we have number 2, part 2 or 3 or something, I don't know, I will leave it with God, but I have to stop now. So I was probably, I haven't even got to the point where I wanted to come this morning, because I had originally prepared some punchlines at the end, but then I realized, no, I can't go for longer than this. So I'll stop here, but still, before we go to the last closing song, I'd like to just come to the Lord. And again, I believe there is not a person in this house now who has not sinned this way. Would you agree with me? Yeah. We all have sinned with the sin of pride, one way or the other. And if this is just age, there is many more, believe me. This is just eight. And if you go through the little checklist and you say, oh, maybe just one. But as I said, one is deadly. One is deadly. And if you remember when I spoke to the most deadly liquid on this planet, do you still remember what it is? The most expensive liquid on this planet? Scorpion venom, yes. Scorpion venom. And see, when you have this venom, even tiny little droplet can kill a lot of people. So this is a poison. This is a poison. Sin, every sin is poison. And venoms are different poisonous levels. But pride is probably one of the most poisonous ones. And you don't need much of it to poison a lot of relationship, to poison a lot of goodness that is in you. So now I would like to come to the Lord in prayer, in confession, in repentance. And if let the Holy Spirit speak to you, we might have said words that were arrogant. We might have a relationship that were broken, as we've heard from Gloria, because of half-truths, lies, gossip, that is also pride thing. We might have friends who hurt us because we felt, as I shared you my story from a friend of mine from high school, 35 years. But 35 years later, he came and asked me to forgive his pride. And I was so happy to release forgiveness. And yes, so we can do it now in prayer. And yes, wherever the Holy Spirit leads you, I don't know what is your part of, you know, I don't know your heart, but he does. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And we want to confess to you that we have sinned against you and against our brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, and co-workers, bosses, government, whoever, Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and deal with us, with our attitudes that are motivated by pride, by our own ego. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us and bring to surface those deep-rooted attitudes and remnants of pride, maybe even from way past, like this friend of mine, from decades ago, whatever it is. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to dig deep into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and cleanse us. As we sang that song before, Lord, we really mean that prayer. Refine us, fire. Refine us, fire. Our desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. And sometimes we haven't dealt appropriately with this sin. Lord, we ask you that if there's any remnants of it, any hidden chambers, any words, any situations that had to be still dealt with and bring to surface and clarified, and we had to go and do and say and speak or act on it, Lord, we ask you that you will bring it to us, to our attention, to our hearts, to our minds, and help us, Lord, according to your word, to humble ourselves so that you can forgive us and heal us. So, Lord, each individually, we are coming to you now and ask you, please, Lord, forgive me. My pride, my arrogance, my gossiping tongue, half-truths I've said, or offense that I took that when I shouldn't, when I thought that I've heard something but it wasn't meant that way. Whatever it is, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to deal with us, with our pride. We want to put it at the foot of your cross, Lord Jesus. We ask you, forgive. Forgive, cleanse us. Take the roots of this evil out of our hearts, our souls, our lives. Pull it out, Lord. And break every chain and power of darkness, power of evil that it had in all of our lives, Lord, so that our prayers can be answered again. We want to die to ourselves, Lord, and to live our lives as a living sacrifice, pleasing to you. We are coming to you, Lord Jesus, and ask you, let the blood of Jesus wash us again, afresh, anew. A gentle Holy Spirit, you never force anybody to do something we don't want to. You are always gentle with us. You don't kick the door unless we open. We thank you for your gentleness, for your love, for your patience with us. We ask you that you would help us to see us as we are, as you see us. Let the word of God is a mirror where we can see all of it, Lord. We have just a few verses from the Bible about pride and all the sins connected with it. We pray that you would help us to see a mirror image of us as you, by the word of God, by your Spirit, see us. So if you felt and acknowledged and prayed in your heart something from your life, in your relationships that you had to deal with, I would like to give us an opportunity to actually come and be prayed for here in the front, if I want to invite my prayer team, our elders, and if you want to come to the front, if you want to kneel before the Lord, stand or anything, come and we can have some time spent in prayer before the Lord. And we can have the musicians and just provide some worship atmosphere before we come to the last song. So.